Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I know it's official that I'm a Cub now, and I'm talking to Danny Parkins. You know what I mean?
Craig Counsell.
My thought on Craig, as I've always watched him against us, was the Bum Phillips quote where he said he'd take his and beat yours and yours and beat his. And that's kind of how I felt sometimes watching him, that he was just getting the most out of the team.
MLB veteran for 16 seasons.
Counsell gets into one to right. His teammates call him Rudy, and Rudy has just tied game one of the 2001 World Series with a first inning home run.
Two-time World Series champion.
So now it's Counsell who carries the run that could win the World Series as he leads away from third. A liner caught, Nagy's glove into center field. The Florida Marlins have won the World Series.
Manager for your Chicago Cubs.
I will cede my time to Danny Parkins. Okay. So his question, it's a very Parkinsian question.
Yeah.
Mine was Spiegel, well, this is Parkinsian.
Craig Counsell with Parkins and Spiegel on 670 The Score.
Joining us now, we are very excited that this is going to be a regular part of the Parkins and Spiegel show throughout Cubs season. He'll be on with us every other week. He's with us on the hotline presented by Circa Sports Illinois, the new manager of the Chicago Cubs, Craig Counsell. Craig, thank you so much for the time, man. How are you doing today?
All right, I'm doing great, guys.
So we were thinking about it. Back in the day, you're driving around, listening to The Score, going to hit with current Cubs radio analyst Ron Coomer, living in Lincoln Park. Did you ever think you'd have a regular afternoon slot on The Score?
No, wasn't. Those weren't in the life goals, that's for sure. But, it's crazy how it works out. Yeah, as I was telling, talking to Coomer about that story a little bit, and then he's the radio broadcaster for the Cubs. It is a bit of a full circle for sure.
So if our math is right, Craig, it's possible that the manager of the 2048 Cubs, maybe 2049, is driving around right now listening to you. So do you have anything you'd like to say to the future manager of the Cubs at this point?
Nah, man, I would tell him that life's got a couple twists and turns ahead of you before you settle into that job.
You know what's the funny thing, or maybe the sad thing? This was a life goal for me. Afternoons with The Score. So here we are.
That's a great story. That's awesome.
Yeah, no, that's true.
And my life goal was to work with Danny. So, it's all working out.
That's questionable. That's questionable, yeah.
We all should have dreamed bigger. You have no choice but to be ready, but do you ever get a sense of whether or not your team is ready to play good baseball out of the gate when opening day arrives?
Well, yeah, I think we're ready. I think we've got to the point in spring training where, guys are prepared, and so you feel good about that. But look, that's why the season is such a challenge and why it's different. And what happens in spring training doesn't guarantee you anything. It doesn't guarantee the hot hitter in spring training a good opening day. None of that is guaranteed. It's competition, and you know, the other team's trying to beat you, and that goes on every single day. So it's a different, you know, you flip the switch to like a really different game. You know, you're at this slower spring training pace, this casual spring training pace. And that switch gets flipped really quickly, especially when you start on the road against a team like the Texas Rangers.
So our perception was, Craig, that we watched the Cubs kind of get over the hump of the Cardinals in the division and then watched you and the Brewers chasing and eventually passing the Cubs. I don't know if it felt that way on the inside, but that's how it seemed. With that in mind, like, are you having your guys watch the Rangers tonight? Hey, look at that ring ceremony. Look what those guys are doing. Like, do you think about getting over the hump in those kind of ways?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's always, look, it's so hard to get that ring. So, it's just like there's a respect to just what they accomplished. That's probably the most important thing. And then, look, everybody, when they pick up the ring, there's a little jealousy in that, like, no doubt, right? So, absolutely. You kind of watch it for that reason, too, and you watch it to know that they accomplished some great things. And so, I don't know if it's something that – I think it's something you just leave to the individual guys if they want to see it. But I think it always – you always respect that journey that they took to, because getting there is so darn hard.
When you were with the Brewers, did you think of the Cubs as the big dog for a couple of years there before you caught him?
Yeah, I mean, no question. I mean, in 15, 16, 17, for sure. Like, yeah, they were – 18, they were the best team in the division. There's no question.
And you caught him with the one-game playoff? At the end of that season? I mean, that was the moment.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was a big moment for the Brewers at that point, yeah. Because the Cubs were coming off a World Series, and they were a very good baseball team. It's not a caught them, but we ran them down in September. That would be true.
We're talking to Craig Counsell here, Parkinson Spiegel on The Score. You know, I probably listened to almost every media availability you did in spring. I'm not sure if you were asked more about you or Christopher Morel. So I guess we can ask you. So which would you prefer we ask you about first? Because we'll do both.
You got you choose. Good observation.
Yeah, I think that was probably one and two. Well, one of the favorite things that I read about the hiring process with you was that Jed told Ken Rosenthal that he told you at the first meeting, I understand that you'll be difficult to work with at times, which as someone who also can be difficult to work with at times, I could relate. But we've seen in this town a lot of like healthy and unhealthy tension between manager and front office. Has there been any tension yet?
I mean, like I don't really take it like that. I mean, I think tension is like just pushing each other. Like, do we have disagreements? Yeah, we absolutely have and should. Like, that's how it's how you get to a better place. So have we disagreed already? Yeah, for sure. So that's a good thing. And you plan on that happening, and it's part of, you know, our working relationship. So, yeah, I mean, he did throw that at me like really early in our conversation, maybe the first thing he said to me. You know, I guess that means people have said I'm difficult to work with, which is that's cool. You got to be yourself. I think the most important thing for me is to be myself through this process. And if it means it's at times a little harder for those around me, like, that's how it's going to be.
I was going to say, did you agree with the characterization?
Yeah, I can agree with it. Yeah, I mean, I can. It happens sometimes, and I think. I can be argumentative. I can be, stand up for what you want, and those things are like, that's confrontation. That's a little bit of, that means you got to get through all that. Sometimes it's hard, but if you show up the next day and you respect decisions that are made, I think we can get better from it that way.
It's more efficient. Positive confrontation is a hell of a lot more efficient to get where you're trying to go, isn't it?
I think in the end it is, but it's hard at the time, always.
Wondering, on the plus side, if your background and organizational approach makes it makes it, you know, more collaborative. And if that, then, Craig, makes it different in terms of, like, the urgency to win tonight's game. Like, are you able to zoom out and think globally from the organizational perspective, and might that affect a decision on a given day or night?
Yeah, I mean, I think, look, it's certainly easy to say that in spring training, and easier to do it, honestly, in spring training. Once the season starts, I think my job is worrying about today, but also, if you can provide a lens into kind of what's down the road, I think that's important, and I think I'm able to do that because of just what I've experienced. So I will definitely voice those opinions, and they won't always be about, yeah, like what's happening today or what's happening tomorrow. I think it's important for the health of the organization always to keep, you know, a little bit of those pictures in your head, even though you are the manager.
So is that the biggest way that the front office experience helps you now that you're back in the dugout?
Yeah, I mean, I think front office experience is just, look, understanding what other people are doing and understanding other people's jobs is important. That gives us a little, you know, sitting in their shoes type thing that that you can understand why decisions are made too. And that gets you past a lot of decisions you maybe don't agree with. You understand why they're made. If you understand why they're made, it's a lot easier to kind of move on.
Hey, all right, Danny, that's enough about him. Ask him about Morrell.
Oh, right. Yeah, the other big topic.
Yeah, go ahead.
You've talked about the decision that you made was not a forever decision, but what variables go into figuring out how long the leash is at third base?
Well, I mean, I think, look, we're trying to put our best team out there, and we're also trying to develop a player. So you're balancing those two acts. But, you know, you weigh them every day, right? And they got to be kind of going in the right direction over the long term. So that's what I'm referring to. You know, it's not just he gets to play third base no matter what. He's got to play well, right? But we understand that there's also this lens you can look at it where, like, playing well over a period of time, not just like night to night figuring it out. Chris is going to play a lot of third base. He's going to play some DH, and some matchups, and we'll, you know, do the best thing for the team, but also trying to develop a guy who can be a impact bat at third base.
When we talked a few weeks back in Mesa, Craig, you talked about hitting tools that you value. Hitting it over the fence, good tool. Lots of agreement around here about that. Hitting it hard and not swinging at balls. So with that in mind, boy, Morrell's got 2 out of 3. Right? I mean, it's tough. Like, how do you get a guy that talented, that good, to swing at fewer balls? I can't imagine how hard that is.
Yeah, and one of the things is just see more pitches. And sometimes you have to swing and miss at the slider to, like, not swing at it. Right. That's just the process that it takes. You have to see the best sliders in the world, make the mistake of swinging and missing at them, and then figuring out a way to just get a little bit better at that each year. And he's doing that. I think he's already doing that. That's already shown up. So those are things that they don't. It's not a switch that gets flipped. It's not like you coach it out of them, you know, in one day, but over a time period, as he's piles up at bats and sees that slider or that fastball in on his hands, you just get a little better at laying off it.
Man, that reminds me a little bit of what Joe used to say about Javi. If he could stop swinging at the slider, he'd be Vlad Guerrero.
I think it was Manny Ramirez.
He was Vlad Guerrero, that it would be Manny Ramirez.
No, because that's the one I always think of as Manny spitting at outside sliders. I don't know how people do it, Craig. It doesn't make any sense, really.
Yeah, it's not easy. I mean, and it's not like Christopher Morrell's the only guy that's swinging at the slider down and away.
Right, it's a common out pitch. We have Nico on the show. We've had him for a couple of years now every Tuesday, and he's just great. And he was on yesterday, actually, ahead of opening day, and we were asking if he had talked, like, nitty-gritty fielding of second base with you. And he's like, no, not really. It's kind of cool that you guys have a good relationship, you've set expectations and standards, but that you've been delegating. But then I'm reading that you're running the bases in spring training, or you're out there doing drills with Morrell at third. How have you been deciding, like, I'm going to delegate this, or I'm going to get hands-on with that?
Yeah, I think I've always thought that, like, the coaches, most of the drills, most of the stuff will be delegated. The me base Ronnie is more to bring some energy to the drill, not teach people how to base run. So it's and that's my function in drills, is just to have the have practice go well and let the coaches coach the specifics of it. And that's how I've always experienced it and think the best way to do it is. Now, you know, in places where I, you know, have some more knowledge, like infield play, absolutely, I'll get more involved. But you know, one of the things you gotta know what you don't know. You know, in the pitching area, you know, Tommy's gonna take care of deliveries. I'll make notes on it, and I have observations. And then you always want explanations, and good explanations, but you have to let the coaches coach. That's what they're good at.
Craig, it's interesting, like, watching you in camp and hearing about you in camp, you as a teacher, and, like, kind of talking about the organizational approach a little bit. It feels a little like a throwback. You know, Coombe was talking about it, how Tom Kelly kind of defined what the Twins were doing. And we all know Earl Weaver defined the Orioles and stuff like that. It doesn't happen that much where managers really get as involved in the organizational approach. Do you feel like you're a throwback in that way a little bit?
Well, those are great names. I think it's really important to understand the organization, because I think it just creates some alignment for everybody. And I think that's huge to get people all going in the right direction. So, and I think it helps other people. Like, I think it'll help Jed and Carter, you know, get buy-in from people that are reporting to them. So I think it's my job to do that. I don't know. It's tough for me to, that's another era of baseball that is so different than what we're doing now. We have so many more people involved, but I think the fact that there's so many more people involved, you know, really makes it imperative that we have alignment.
But when you send, like, when Matt Shaw now goes to AAA or Chase Strumpf goes back, like, they're going to take some of the stuff that you expect when they come back. They know what to expect from your perspective. That's got to be beneficial.
Yeah, I mean, that's the best part of having those players in camp with us, for sure. And that's why you want those players in camp. And, you know, that we got Matt and, you know, Owen Casey, like, is their first experience in big league camp. You know, being able to talk to them daily and get on them a little bit, tell them what they just be very clear about what they need to be better at. That was really important for us, I think.
So what's it been like for you being one of the biggest stories around this team, the spotlight on you?
It's not very interesting to me, really. I think it'll fade. Well, maybe it won't, or maybe it won't. I don't know. But that's all good. You know, I'll answer the questions, and, you know, eventually I'll get sick of talking about me, so the answers will get a lot shorter. And then we'll move on.
That'll be our tell to move off the questions.
Yeah, you talk a lot, man. Baseball managers, woof, we're going to ask you about you a lot between now and even just May.
Yeah. I'm talking about the team is great when you start talking about it's funny how it gets dissected like that, but that's because the game moves at a pace where you can do it. I think it's easy to do, and it's fun to do for fans, and I get it.
Well, I got to say, it's professionally great for us and personally pretty surreal for me that you're going to be a regular part of the Parkins and Spiegel show. So thanks again for agreeing to it, and we look forward to talking to you throughout the season, man.
Awesome, guys. Happy opening day.
That was our conversation with Craig Counsell. We will turn it over to Cubs pregame in about 40 minutes. He is going to be on our show every other Thursday. It will normally again be live. We had the tape this week because of opening day.
And we're going to be able to get to a lot because that man likes to be efficient with his answers. He doesn't love to talk. Like, he didn't do weekly radio or biweekly radio in Milwaukee. You hear the line of questioning about that you asked about, like, hey, how is it talking about you so much? He's like, it's not great, but, you know, whatever. It's okay. Yeah. So he wants, and he's smart as hell, obviously. So we're going to be able to get to a lot of stuff. I really, really enjoyed that today.
Yeah, he's incredibly smart, doesn't really filibuster, doesn't suffer fools. I mean, you heard, you were out there for a few of the sessions in person and, you know, going at Sahadov a little bit. Just recently we had him taking a shot at Nightingale, who wasn't even there. You know what I mean? Like there will be moments where he checks us and that sort of thing. It'll be good.
Watching,
it's going to be fun.
Watching him.
Is there anything about opening day in Japan next year for the Cubs Dodgers game?
No.
No? They're talking about that. And,
okay.
Have you
sounds
ever,
good.
Have you ever,
is it for sure?
Have you ever,
thank you. I reported it.
Oh, it's not for sure.
Dude. Is it for sure? Bob Nightingale reported it. Oh, it's not for sure then.
That's great counsel.
Oh,
it's amazing.
My God.
Yeah. That's incredible. There's going to be some good moments.
Oh.
Is Craig Counsell a producer on our staff?
Yeah, right? It's real good, man. I mean, he's a scorehead.
Uh-huh.
Scorehead.
Yeah. Oh, God. It's incredible. And yes, swatting away smart questions in the scrum out there in Mesa, just like refusing to take the bait on soft factors, like just with an attitude, like, and not like a jerky attitude, but, you know, definitely doesn't suffer fools.
But, I mean, you heard him say, he's like, yeah, I can be difficult to work with.
Uh-huh. He's all right with that.
So, yeah, that's, by the way, what's like one of the most significant things about being a good leader? You have to be comfortable being disliked.
Yeah, you have to.
But, you know, and not, I'm not saying that they dislike him, but in moments, in actions, for interactions. Yeah. Like not overall, you obviously have to be respected, but the ability to deliver tough news, be unpopular, that's a very significant thing in being a leader.
Respected, more important than being liked. And he comes to it with a lot to already respect, and I think these guys are going to respect his process. And yeah, they might not like him, and he doesn't seem to care. That's probably a very, very good, healthy thing.
We got a special treat for you to end the show in about a little less than half an hour, but I know coming up next there are specifics about Counsell and this season and the interaction that you want to dive into.
Danny, I've never been more excited to watch a manager in baseball in my life than this year, this season, this team.
All right, well, coming from you, that is significant. So we got to unpack why next on The Score.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Parkins and Spiegel Show Flashback.
I think for the tone that he set in camp was great. I think you know, everything was very smooth and people are getting along well. But obviously the season is the real test, both, you know, for everybody, players, managers, you guys. but it's
that's the one that matters most, obviously.
Exactly. Yeah. But no, we're excited, and I'm interested to see how he uses the team for sure. I mean, especially our bullpen is incredibly deep, and I think have a real chance for that to be a big strength of ours, and I know he's had a lot of success with that in the past.
So So that's Nico Horner with us. He'll be on Tuesdays at 2:30. Craig Counsell going to be on our show every other Thursday. And you've watched baseball a long time. You've watched a lot of managers closely. And you say, Matt Spiegel,
yo,
that there has never been a manager that you are more interested in watching manage than Craig Counsell and the 2024 Cubs. Why?
Yeah, the last one was probably Joe Maddon. As I, you know, was getting smarter about the game, and we're always getting smarter about the game because there's so much to learn. But, like, you know, the principal answer is the level of esteem he holds in the partnership with the front office. I mean, that's the biggest thing. There's nitty gritty stuff that we can talk about, like what analytics he's going to look at, what numbers he'll look at for matchups, and, you know, how he's going to use people in bullpen stuff like Nico was talking about. But let's go big picture right away. He said at his introductory press conference that with Jed and Carter, we're starting a partnership. And that means a lot to me. And you knew right then, as they talked, the way Jed talked about him, it's clearly an elevated definition of the partnership. So in terms of the power that a manager might have, here's Jed Hoyer from today. This is Jed Hoyer on with Mully and Haw today, talking about the dynamic as Jed thinks about all the big picture things. You're thinking about the future. You're thinking about the past. You're thinking about the minors. You know, like all the stuff that, like, the big baseball architect thinks about. Here's him talking about Counsell in that regard.
You always have sort of one eye on the present and one eye on the future. But at the same time, I do think, you know, that one of the, you know, reasons I wanted to be so aggressive when we had a chance to with Craig and to bring him on board as our manager is he has a fantastic perspective on an entire organization. You know, that are my conversations with him, you know, he's a manager who he wants to win tonight's game and tomorrow's game just as much as anybody, but he also understands a larger picture. I think he knows that, you know, the way that, you know, the way we're going to be really good for a long time is by, you know, giving those guys chances and by not, you know, trading them all away for just a small gain right now. And so he understands that stuff really, really well. You know, he started out in the front office. I think that the way that, you know, Milwaukee as a smaller market was building teams, I think helped with that. So I think there's a natural tension that you have with any manager that's healthy, that in some ways we have different jobs, right? That his job is so focused on tonight's game and tomorrow's game. And my job is, as you said, organization building and making sure the team's healthy. So there's a natural tension there, but I think that there's a way to handle that tension that is the right way. And I feel as though when I talk to Craig, he knows my perspective. He's thought through my perspective. And I think I've done the same with him. And so I think it takes away some of that tension, which is good. But, you know, I joke about it. We haven't lost a game together yet. We haven't had, you know, those bad moments. And so we'll see how we react to them together. But I do think his perspective on the big picture is really fantastic. And I think that will help what we're trying to do, which is build something that's, you know, good every year, that, you know, our opening day conversation every year is a positive because we know we're going to be in contention. And that's ultimately what you want to build as an organization.
So is Craig Counsell going to be more willing to punt on a game and not worry about winning tonight's game as they serve the greater good and the entirety of the window and what they're trying to do? Is he more willing to give a longer leash to Christopher Morel at third base because it's important organizationally, even though it might cost him a game here or there or an inning or here or there? It might make, you know, like that kind of stuff.
He's a very competitive person.
Woo.
So I don't know about either of those two things. This is probably a little bit of an oversimplification, but Jed has addressed it and acknowledged that it, of course, with money comes power. He makes more than Jed.
Yes, he does.
Does not mean that he has more power in the organization than Jed necessarily, but it does mean that he has more power than most managers than Jed. And Jed, I think, deserves a ton of credit for doing that.
Yes. And
a lot of teams, manager is a partnership with the front office, mm-hmm. but that is because they are beholden to the front office for their job.
Correct.
And they make $2 million, great gig, but they make $2 million basically for the grind of being a baseball manager.
Right.
For the travel, for the media, for the clubhouse interactions or whatever. Craig's making $8 million to be
a celebrity manager, but for his brain.
Yes.
He's making $8 million for his brain.
He's putting out the developmental template for some of the young players, which we talked about in the interview, sending Matt Shaw back to AAA. Hey, Matt, work on this. Hey, Matt, work on that. You work on this. So if he's making more money and he might have more of a say on some of the developmental things, then in terms of usage, look, I've been in enough managers' offices and seen them say, well, it's not really my idea. And they point up towards the ceiling as to whose idea it is, because upstairs is making me do this, right?
Yeah.
I don't know if we're ever going to see Craig Counsell do that. Like, is he ever going to be the guy saying, I'm not crazy about this? In fact, he said, I know we want to get Michael Bush some at-bats, right? So right. It's a we. It's a we, and he might be atop the we, which is a different dynamic than we've ever seen.
He might be atop the we, and my guess is Jed will still get his wins, but I think that he will have to do an excellent job
of selling him.
Of selling him on it, and that dynamic is in and of itself interesting.
Yep.
And Craig is... You just heard he's difficult to work with. He's smart. He could be a little prickly. He could be argumentative. It's going to be fun to see. I hope there isn't a bunch of tension and negativity and all that, but it's going to be interesting to see how he handles it.
Yeah, but it's baseball. People are going to be pissed. People are already pissed to see Nick Madrigal hit an eighth.
Oh, and
you know what I mean? And he's going to he's going to talk twice a day, and his answers are going to get shorter. He told us he's going to dismiss some stuff because he thinks it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, the dynamic is the number one thing.
Well, the other thing, and Counsell definitely dismisses it. I remember asking him at Cubs convention. I was like, "So like why do your teams always overachieve?" And he was like, "I don't know." Like, that's his public stance. Like, he doesn't believe it's his superpower. He's like, I just stack good decisions.
Right.
That's his like go-to public thing. And I'm not saying it's not true.
I think he does believe it's true.
He does believe it's true. But what I'm saying is they gave him $8 million because they believe it's his superpower.
Yes, they do.
And so when Jed Hoyer is telling Mullion Haw, we can't spend on all the Boris guys, and when he's telling John Greenberg, we've got to eke it out with this group and play to the top of our projection model because we don't have as much margin for error as the Braves and the Dodgers do. They basically said, well, then who can we go out and get that won't put us into the repeater tax?
Right.
It's just $8 million. It's not $16 million or $24 million.
Doesn't count against the payroll.
It's just $8 million to make sure that they don't underachieve.
And that is the other dynamic, is that this team underachieved. The underlying numbers, like run differential and the other stuff, tell you they should have had a lot more wins. They collapsed, and ownership was pissed, and Jed was pissed that they collapsed there in September, and now here we are, and they didn't make a ton of changes.
Yeah.
They added Shoto Imanaga. They traded for Michael Bush. And
Neris.
Hector Neris, and good night, everybody. Like, they brought back Bellinger. Like, this is a very similar team. We'd like you to go out and overachieve, and you're the guy that overachieves. So now let's watch how it happens. I'm fascinated.
Well, and I think that they will have to probably on those, the Jed Counsell disagreements. My guess is early. Ty's going to Counsell.
I think so. Because they asked for it.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. If they're bringing back the same team because monetarily that's where they're at.
So what do you know?
Oh, okay. Well, then we think this team's pretty damn good.
Sure.
But make sure that we actually play to as good as we think we are.
Here's a couple like nuts and bolts examples. Javier Assad is great either in bulk out of the bullpen or as a starter. Like, really, really good. Or even in short stints out of the bullpen every once in a while. What does Craig think his best role is? He's in the rotation now, but I don't know how long he's going to last that way. They have a few guys like that who can throw bulk. Wesneski can throw two or three innings at a time.
Yeah.
They're getting Ben Brown ready for that. How does he use guys like that? You know, is he we'll see the opener and the classic, you know, bulk guy to follow, which is now classic, but is he going to piggyback guys? Hey, like, how many times is he going to go with a bullpen game just for fun, to stretch it out, or for a strategic reason, to give Shota an extra day? So that's one big thing. What numbers does he use to care about in terms of usage? He's gotten great production from dudes who only have power. in Milwaukee at times, whether it's Rowdy Tellez or Eric Thames or some other guys, like, put up 30 homer seasons. We're like, wow, how did he get that much out of him? Is Patrick Wisdom the next guy to only get used in exactly the right situations and put up a 30 homer season? You know, things like that. Like, he's going to maximize some dudes. He better. He's getting paid to maximize some dudes. What does that look like? Why is he doing it? I can't wait to learn that stuff.
Yeah, watching the smartest manager in the game deal with more resources than he's ever had should be pretty damn fascinating. Though I will say, watching Joe Maddon come in was pretty damn fascinating.
It absolutely was.
With Theo, that was pretty... I mean, Ozzie was fascinating. Pinella was fascinating. We've had some great managers here, but Joe was pretty damn fascinating.
I'll say this about Joe, though. The bloom eventually came off that rose. I thought he was genius with analytics and all this stuff from Tampa, and then eventually the bloom came off a little bit, and it was more about the personality and, like,
yeah,
the team building and stuff, and then that started to decay a little bit. Like, the bloom usually comes off a manager's rose.
Yeah, we'll see if it does with Council.
Yep.
We'll see. White Sox lost opening day 1-0. Highlight would be Garrett Crochet.
Big time.
87 pitches, 8 strikeouts, 6 innings.
6 innings.
No walks.
That, I mean, dude. Stone was on with...
One tattoo sleeve.
Stone was on with Dan Lawrence and Layla saying, you know, 3, maybe 4 innings, and there'd be a pitch game. 87 pitches in 6 innings with 8 Ks and no walks from Crochet.
Amazing.
Is excellent.
Oh, Stoney got something wrong?
He was
pretty economical early, which allowed him to stay in that game later. Like, he was not afraid to pitch to contact, and he had good stuff early, so it sounded like he was struggling.
We've said this a couple times in the spring, but let's go ahead and say it now. Dude has ace stuff. He has had ace stuff since he was in college and since he was drafted. It's always been a question of, can he start? And he's never been healthy enough to do it. He's never really even been given a chance to do it in the big league. So if he's learned something about strengthening his arm and lasting, you might have an ace caliber pitcher.
It's also the Tigers, where you're only really worried about, like, Riley Green maybe and Javi Baez sometimes.
Torkelson.
87 pitches.
Oh, Spencer. Forgot about Spencer.
Yeah. 87 pitches, though, is still above expectation. So that's a win and a loss, but 3 singles as your only offensive production. That's about in line with what people expected.
Oh, boy.
How
many base runners? Just those 3?
I believe it was just the 3.
How was that, huh?
Yeah, Robert in the first inning.
But it was so fast. It was all going by so fast. It was hard to count them all. You know what I mean? It could have been more.
Yeah, thanks, Danny.
Two hours and six minutes.
Here's the real question.
No, Pedro had them going fast.
Did they lose cleaner?
Well, if you want to count the new catcher who I had been wanting to be on the team for 3 years.
Yeah, he couldn't catch the ball today.
Yeah, like the lone run that was scored was like a runner advanced on a pass ball and a sack fly. That was how the Tigers got there.
Tanny.
One run.
Because the ball popped out of his mitt, Speaks. It was in it and then out of it.
And I know he's not good anymore, but for that to be the one run and how it scored.
Tanny, you wanted him for a long time.
6 years?
3 years ago.
Yeah.
He was actually good then still.
You got him now, so own it, dude.
Wanted him 3 years ago. He hasn't been good for 4 years.
Probably less wrong than that.
That's too bad.
Well, pretty special way to get your opening day vibes up coming up. Parkins and Spiegel on the Score.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show.
It's been a long 4 hours.
Afternoons on the Score.
Happy opening day, everybody.
Happy opening day.
Lynn Bramer thought this was the greatest rock and roll song ever written. It's right up there. It's very, very high.
It's a great song.
He was wrong. I told him so to his face many a time. It's Won't Get Fooled Again by The Who. Mm. And not your version where you scream.
I was going to say, I know.
Where we don't get Mitch again. Not that one.
Are you sure?
I'm positive. I'm positive.
I know that Bramer loved that version, though.
He did?
Yeah! Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He loved the Mitch album. And remember what he said about my singing? It's like a special combination of unapologetically bad and beautiful.
See, that's perfect.
Yeah.
He got it. He understood the bit.
Oh, he loved the bit.
Man, I miss writing Cubs parody songs with that guy. We did it a ton of times and miss him very much today. And I'll miss him even more on Monday for the Cubs home opener.
Yeah. And very few, if any, people were more associated with opening day and the Cubs in this town than the late, great Lynn Bramer. So here is one of his many tributes to this holiday. Opening day.
Left,
we make a beginning. Tobacco chaws and rally caps, sliders and split fingers, deep green fields and long white lines. A tumble of arcane numbers. Earned run average, hits and walks per innings pitched. Numbers, random and unforgettable. 61, 512, 714. Maybe it started early. 7 years old, you're back against the warm red brick of the corner candy store holding an improbably colored bottle of pop, something like Tahitian Treat or Mountain Dew. Your throat choked with those slabs of baseball card bubblegum while you study those stats with an intensity a tale of two cities will never inspire. Those timeless portraits, Nellie Fox, his cheek puffed like an adder. Maybe it began when you held your dad's hand as you walked into a ballpark a long time ago and realized that black and white television didn't tell the truth. It never told you about that green, that impossible green, the ball field. Where else would the memory of cigar smoke be as comforting as a box of Cracker Jack? How do we remember all those names? The famous, the infirm, the mighty, and the fallen. The splendid splinter, the big train, the big hurt, the hawk, hack, guys named Pumpsy, Dizzy, and Swish. The baseball season, a dance we do with memory. We've waited long enough. The winter is over when the umpires urge grown men to play.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.